soundingthealarm.com. Warning, the events and issues of this broadcast are real and eternal.
This is Trevor Davis, sounding the alarm on May 7th, 2015. Today I have much to share, particularly from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 13. This is where Jesus Christ himself gave many warnings, many admonitions. He laid out what the last days would be like. He talked about very serious issues to be careful because of danger, threats, delusion, deception, lies, myths, harm that would come to so many people. There's no question that Jesus Christ loves his disciples. He loves those that love him. And that God the Father so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe on him would not perish, but would have everlasting life. I marvel at the teachings of Jesus. So let's listen. Let's hear what the Lord Jesus says and has said, and it's been recorded. And through the Holy Spirit, may we have eyes to see, ears to hear, a heart that takes heed to these things. Because these things, the end of the world, the end of the age, is coming upon us. Mark 13. And as he went out of the temple, one of his disciples said unto him, Master, see what manner of stones and what buildings are here? And Jesus answering said unto him, Seest thou these great buildings? There shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. This is a double reiteration of what Jesus is saying regarding to the temple, its majesty, its beauty, its exterior. The Lord is saying there won't even be physically one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down, is adding an additional dimension to this. Ask the Lord about that. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives over against the temple, Peter and James and John and Andrew asked him privately, Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign when all these things shall be fulfilled? And Jesus answering them began to say, Take heed, lest any man deceive you. So the first thing Jesus says regarding these questions that his disciples asked him was, take heed. Be very careful. You better take special precaution. Better arm yourself, lest anyone would deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And when you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, be ye not troubled, for such things must needs be, but the end shall not be yet. For nation shall rise against nation, that is ethnos against ethnos, which is what we have going on today, race wars. Nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be earthquakes in diverse places, and there shall be famines and troubles. These are the beginnings of sorrows, birth pangs. Is what it means, like a woman that's about to give birth. But take heed to yourselves. There we go. That's the second time out of four that we're going to see in this chapter where Jesus says, take heed, take heed, take heed, take heed. They shall deliver you up to councils, and in the synagogues you shall be beaten, and you shall be brought before rulers and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them. As I was pondering on this earlier today, I'm realizing that Jesus is saying, get ready, better be prepared, because you're going to have to stand before secular forces and religious forces because of Jesus, because of your position with the Lord, because of your relationship with him. Because if you know Jesus, you're at odds with the world. You're at odds with the business world of religion. You're at odds because they're at odds with him. You can't be friends with them because you'd be an enemy of the Lord by doing that. That's James 4:4. God has adversaries, clearly said so in Luke 13. The rulers of the synagogues were using religion, but they hated Jesus and they opposed his acts as he performed mighty signs and wonders that glorified the Father, glorified the gospel, glorified the truth that's in Jesus. And they were called adversaries, being so hypocritical and religious. They sought to destroy Jesus, Mark 3, to conspire with the secular world. This is why what Jesus is saying, you better be prepared. If you're going to follow Jesus, you will have to stand with the Lord. They will deliver you up to councils and in the synagogues, places of religious system, order, meeting places. You'll be beaten. And you shall be brought before rulers and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them. This is fascinating. I was thinking of one of the most famous preachers within the last, 60, 70 years. Synonymous with Christianity, almost anybody would, you mention this man's name, they know who you're talking about. But yet, he wasn't a testimony against the wicked presidents or rulers of the world or leaders of other religions like Catholicism or popes. This man actually worked with them and whitewashed. It's called whitewashing or whited walls with untempered mortar, which Ezekiel 13 spoke of, and Jesus himself many times. It's where you gloss over wickedness, give it a nice facade, cover it over, become in cahoots with it because you're a lover of man, you love the world, you're a friend of men because you fear men and not God. This is what goes on. But the Lord said his true servants will speak before the kings and the rulers for his sake. And will have a testimony against them. Like Psalms 2 says, kiss the Son, lest you be angry and you perish in the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Be wise, therefore, O kings. Be instructed, O rulers, spiritual leaders. And the gospel must first be published among all nations. The Lord is answering many questions that these disciples ask. When will the end come? What will be the sign? And when they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought beforehand what you shall speak, neither do you premeditate. But whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, that speak ye, for it is not you that speak, but it the Holy Spirit. Ladies and gentlemen, this is what the Lord wants from his disciples. He wants us to speak by unction. We have an unction from the Holy One. We don't have need of a man that would teach us, but we have the anointing, 1 John 2:27. That teaches us all things. It's the unction of the Lord that we speak when prompted by the Lord. What to say, how to say it, when to say it, where to say it, because we're his servants. That's what Jesus did, and he's our example. And he's telling us these are very important times when for God's determined plan and will, as he has us speak before, whether it's governing powers of the world or religious leaders of the world or people in the highways and the byways, the Lord wants us to be led what to say and how to say it. Open our mouth and he will fill it. Don't premeditate, but be prepared. Sanctify the Lord in your heart that you may be able to answer every man for the reason of the hope that lies within you in meekness and in respect. Now, listen to this. Now the brother shall betray the brother to death, and the father, the son. And the children shall rise up against their parents and shall cause them to be put to death. What Jesus is describing here is an atmosphere that's very catastrophic and tumultuous, with every man against himself, every man against for themselves and against everyone else, regardless of the relationship. Children against their parents, parents against their children, and brother against their brother. nations against nations and kingdoms against kingdoms, with earthquakes going on and famines, people starving, and pestilence, people dying. All of these things, great troubles in the earth. And you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. God doesn't want you to give up. You're to know him whom you are called. You are to live by his power. You have no fear of death. The Lord has delivered you from the fear of death. Not a hair on your head will perish. No one can pluck you out of my Father's hand, is what Jesus said. This is why you take heed. How do you take heed? You lay down your life. You rest confidence in the Lord. You trust him with all your heart. You serve him from day to day, throughout the day. You're not of this world. You love not the things of this world. This world is going to be shaken with unprecedented events. That's what we're going to hear the Lord describe in this discourse from Jesus himself. You're going to be hated. You better get used to it. They hated him, they'll hate you. When you shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing where it ought not, let him that readeth understand. Then let them that be in Judea flee to the mountains. And let him that is on the housetop not go down into the house, neither enter therein to take anything out of his house. And let him that is in the field not turn back again for to take up his garment. But woe to them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. And pray you that your flight be not in the winter. For in those days shall be affliction, such as was not from the beginning of the creation, which God created unto this time, neither shall be. That's Mark 13:19. That is unprecedented, catastrophic time, tumultuous time, dire time, treacherous times, perilous times, such as never seen before, not from the beginning, not up to this point where Jesus is discussing, or ever shall be. Now, there's things that Jesus talked about in this chapter, as well as the other places where it's recorded in similar fashion. Matthew 24, Luke 17, Luke 21, and here Mark 13. There's things that have happened. The early church was persecuted, just like Jesus said. Apostle Paul himself did have to stand before the kings and King Agrippa and other leaders. Was harmed and was part of a plot to be killed by the religious system. The Lord delivered him. Paul the Apostle in Acts 20, in 2 Timothy, the whole chapter is about how he was isolated and everyone's abandoned Paul. Paul the Apostle, it was taught by Jesus himself, was abandoned by everyone. But the Lord stood with him and delivered him from the mouth of the lion, from the religious people. We're coming into things that are unprecedented. We haven't seen that yet. We've seen some of these things, but people don't realize is that prophecy spans over a large time span. From those days shall be affliction such as was not from the beginning of the creation of God, which God created unto this time, neither shall be. And except that the Lord had shortened those days, no flesh should be saved. But for the elect's sake, whom he has chosen, he has shortened the days. Praise the Lord. That's a really comforting thing to know, that God the Father has shortened the days. It's only so long. Because it's so dire that there'd be no one alive, not anyone. The destruction that's in the earth, both by man, both by the devil, and both by God's fierce judgments that he will bring and is bringing. Now listen to this. And then if any man shall say to you, lo, here's Christ, or lo, he's there, believe him not. For false Christs and false prophets shall rise and shall show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect. Remember, Christ is an anointed one which has the Spiritual meaning, indication that it's saying that God, the invisible, has an equipped or anointed or endorsed or empowered this vessel to go forward in his name. There's people that say they're anointed of the Lord, but aren't. They don't serve him. They're emissaries of the devil. A true believer in Jesus Christ is anointed of the Lord and has been given authority and power according to the will of the Father, according to the will of the Spirit of God. But there's going to be false Christs and false prophets. And Jesus said they're going to do signs and wonders. And the reason why they're doing that is to seduce you, lead you astray, trick you, beguile you. They're subtle. Even the elect, if it were possible. So my question, the Lord's telling you these things. He's saying, take heed. Take heed. These things are coming. Are you ready? Is it possible for you to be deceived or seduced or led astray? But take ye heed. Behold, I have foretold you all things. That's the third time the Lord has said this. But in those days after that tribulation, the sun shall be darkened and the moon shall not give her light. And the stars of heaven shall fall and the powers that are in heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. And then shall he send his angels and shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from the uttermost part of the earth to the uttermost part of heaven. Wherever you are, whether you're in the earth or whether you're in the heavens, God's going to gather his elect together. Now, learn a parable of the fig tree. Remember, we're talking about signs. When will these things be? And now Jesus is going to give us an illustration through a parable. Learn a parable of the fig tree. When her branch is yet tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer's near. How do you know summer's coming? Because the fig tree will start budding leaves. Same thing here. How will you know when the end is coming? Because these things that Jesus is describing, you'll start seeing them in your world. Are we to watch and pray? Yes. Are we to have our eyes open, or are we to have our eyes shut and asleep, oblivious? Well, take heed. Sow ye in like manner, when you shall see these things come to pass, know that it is nigh, even at the doors. So Jesus just explained the parable to you. Now, how in the world did they get away with teaching that this had to do with Israel? It's quite amazing, isn't it? It's going to be a remnant of people, even Israel. Every tribe, tongue, nation of the world will have a remnant of people that will have faith in the gospel of Jesus. Praise the Lord. Even those that pierce Jesus. There'll be some that will repent and have faith in the Lord by election and by grace. Praise the Lord. This is in Romans 11. Verily I say unto you, that this generation shall not pass till all these things be done. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. This is absolute going to happen. Nothing going to stop it. Absolutely, clearly, 100%. But of that day and that hour knows no man. No, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take ye heed, watch and pray. For you know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey who left his house, gave authority to his servants and to every man his work, and commands the porter to watch. Watch therefore, for you know not when the master of the house comes, at even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. And that's that word, vigilant. Well, the Lord Jesus has told you four times to take heed. And he says, I take heed, I've already told you everything. I've laid it out for you. It's a map. It's a roadmap. And when you start seeing these things happen, just like a fig tree but has little leaves on it, you know summer's coming, you'll know that my coming is at hand. And it's going to be dire. It's going to be troublematic. With every man for himself. Huge wars. Nation against nation. Fear. Terrible. Earthquakes. Famines and pestilence. But you need to be in the Lord watching. And praying, abiding, laying down your life, being prepared to be persecuted, being prepared to speak on behalf of the Lord, sharing what the Spirit of God puts on your tongue, and speak it. Don't be afraid of man. You've been given your assignment. Serve Him. Appreciate what Jesus has told us. He's told us beforehand. So when we see these things coming, we remember that He foretold us. We're to be prepared. We're to take heed. So are you taking heed? Are you giving it special attention? Have you laid down your life? Are you prepared to die? Whether you live or whether you die, will you live as unto the Lord? That's what it's going to take, because many are going to give up in the day of persecution and affliction. Many are going to be deceived and are deceived. Because they haven't taken heed, because they're not watching, because they're not discerning. They're not taking heed to the words of Jesus, even though He's already told them all these things. It's amazing how the devil's a liar. He's subtle, but he's the same. He operates in the same devices as he has throughout history. I want to read what Apostle Paul shared in 2 Corinthians 11. Would to God you would bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me, for I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that's in Christ. Paul was very afraid of this, very concerned. He saw the fragile nature of people that weren't strong in the Lord, and they hadn't girded the loins of their minds. They were gullible and overly simple, and they would believe every spirit and every gospel. Let's listen. For if he that comes preaches another Jesus, whom we've not preached, or if you receive another spirit, which you have not received, or another gospel, which you have not accepted, you might well bear with him. That's 2 Corinthians 11, verse 4. That goes on all the time today. We have people preaching different Jesuses. We have people that are Mormons that are standing with so-called religious people. We have people that are standing with the Catholics that preach a different Jesus, a different gospel. We have people that bear with other spirits, bearing with them, joining with them, aligning with them, working together. For I suppose I was not a whit behind the very chiefest apostles, but though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge. But we have been thoroughly made manifest among you in all things. He's saying, you know, I might sound pretty rough, but I know what I'm talking about. Paul was taught by Jesus. He didn't try to be a big orator, fancy speaker, glitzy, glossy man like we have today. He spoke in the power of God, that their faith and trust would be in the power of God through the gospel. Praise the Lord. He didn't seek to please men. He didn't monetize and package things to try to draw people after himself. He was drawing people to the Lord. As he said here, I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Have I committed an offense in abasing myself that you might be exalted, because I have preached unto you the gospel of God freely? I robbed other churches, taking wages of them to do you service. And when I was present with you in I had need, I was chargeable to no man, for that which was lacking to me, the brethren which came from Macedonia supplied, and in all things I have kept myself from being burdensome unto you, and so will I keep myself. As the truth of Christ is in me, no man shall stop me of this boasting in the regions of Achaia. Wherefore, because I love you not? God knows. But what I do, I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. Now listen to this. For such are false apostles. For such are false apostles. Paul was seeing these guys, charlatans all around him. Deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. Jesus talked about that, how the Pharisees would transfigure their face when they would fast. They would act religious while they were destroying people and ripping off the widows. And many such things. He says you are like tombs that men walk upon but don't even realize it. And Paul says, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. I'm reading this to you because this is the way it was 2,000 years ago. And now we have religion today that they are false Christs. They're false anointed ones. They're false ministers, false teachers, false prophets. They come in Jesus' name, but they're taking you astray. They're adding leaven to the word of God. As Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is likened to leaven that a woman took and hid in 3 measures of wheat till the whole was leaven. You need Jesus. I need Jesus. We need Jesus. We need to be committed to him and take heed, take heed, take heed, take heed. Watch and pray. Do what the Lord's called you to do in these last days, for these are perilous, perilous times. And there would be no flesh alive unless the Lord had shortened those days. Praise the Lord.